Hi, welcome to this Grandma's Life podcast. I'm your host, Thesia Ellis. Get ready to laugh, learn, and grow with me as we explore growing old in an ever-changing world. Today is May 8th, 2023, and episode 30, New Season, New Stresses. So it is springtime. It has been spring for a few weeks, but it's still one of those things that as the seasons have changed, it's been kind of stressful. You know, you go from winter to nothing much going on except freezing, and you try to deal with the different things freezing at different parts of the cold, to like, oh my gosh, everything is growing and I've got to get things done. So that's kind of what this whole thing is about. So farm happenings. For several days, it's been, you know, if sometimes it was kind of misty and rainy, some days it was just cloudy, but it's like mainly in the 60s, and sometimes it get up into the 70s, and all of a sudden Saturday, it got up to 90 degrees, and it's like in the 80s the last 2 days after that. And I like it, but that is a big change, and especially my pigs are kind of going, what in the wide, wide world of sports, you know, because that is a big change. It's a 20 to 30 degree difference in what they're used to. The piglets that I had talked about on my last podcast, they were actually born on April 25th. So they are doing so good and they're so cute. And, so I'm really enjoying having them around. I don't know if you follow me on TikTok or Facebook or Instagram, I've got lots of pictures, and I say lots for me, it's a lot, you know, about at least once a day, something about the piglets that I've been putting out. I've got four males and five females. And so I'm trying to decide how I'm going to do that. And it looks like, well, I want to save all my females because I'd like to expand my flock. And yes, I've been out in the wind today. But I've only got one white male and one spotted male that's going to be for sale. So I guess if anybody knows, if you know anybody who wants them, now what I'm going to have is, these are registered. Well, the mom and dad are registered pigs. I can register the piglets too. Idaho pasture pigs. So if you want them just for feeder, then they're going to be $200 a piece. If you want it for a breed, and these are my males, these are going to be $400 a piece. So I've got one white male and one spotted male for sale. I'm going to keep my females. I've got a darling little runt. That's one of my spotted ones. But he is a runt. I'm going to get him castrated. He's probably going to one I'm going to raise. And that's hard for me to say because I don't know. It's kind of been interesting how much this litter has meant to me. But the little runt, I'm probably going to get him castrated here in the next few days. So that I'm probably raise him for a feeder pig for ourselves. So, I got one white male and one spotted male after that that's going to be for sale. So direct message me, whatever you want to do to contact me, and we'll see if we can figure out how to get you a piglet here in the next few weeks. A couple of weeks ago, I got the fence down on the south end of the vineyard, and I finally got all the fencing down on the north end of the vineyard this last week. And so now the only thing I've got left to do is get the dead riding mower that's in the middle of the vineyard pulled out of there. And then maybe I can start mowing down in the vineyard with a little bit more ease than what I've been doing before, because I really don't want to mow with a push mower in there anymore. I always like the way it looks when I'm done with it, but it takes too long and it's an awful lot of work. All right. Last time it was prom night, and last Saturday, Friday night, I think it's been about a week. And so the girls look so beautiful. They really did. Kenzie and her best friend, they went together. They each had the dress. And Kenzie just, I'm serious, I know I've said this before, she looked like a Greek goddess. It was just a dress that would just look like it was made just for her. It fit her well. She looked gorgeous in it. It was just, they looked good. And so I think they had a good time. They got to show off in front of, like, you know, Aaron's mom, and, you know, so, and I think Cadence's dad got to take pictures and stuff. So everybody's got pictures of these beautiful girls, and I'm just really proud of them. And I guess they had a good time. You know, I asked them what they do. Like, well, just kind of hung out. And Cadence danced. And Kenzie does not dance. So I guess Cadence danced a little bit. So I guess they dressed up to go sit there and talk. I don't know. And so, but it was cool that she got to go to her first prom. And she, yeah, she's only a sophomore, but she had a senior that invited her. So that's kind of how she got to go. Because I think technically you had to be either senior or junior, because our school's small enough that it can, they put them together. But they did that. All right. My next segment is my three things. And so my number one is podcast. And that's my one thing also, because I'm trying to have my three things. And I've described this to you. You do the three things that you must get done for that day to help you move toward your goal. And then the book, The One Thing, tells you focus on one thing and get it done for the day before you work on the next thing. So my one thing is this podcast, getting it recorded, getting it processed and put out and get that done today. Oh, man. And so this changed because I did this too much. And so this morning it was also morning burn. Oh my gosh, I really love this class. But it kicks my butt. We're calling it morning burn because she does different things. But right now we're doing like, I don't know what else to call it, but like MMA style training, where there's no way I could do MMA style anything. But we do some moves. We do some MMA and Muay Thai and all this other stuff. And it helps me get a little bit of frustration out, and I enjoy it. I won't lie, but man, I got too enthusiastic this morning. So I didn't even, almost didn't last the whole thing because I just didn't get it done. I mean, I can, but I was tired. So I'm tired now. Kenzie has been home for a few days with me for to do some stuff, and she's actually been just really a blessing to have around the house. She, I don't know if you are you familiar with the green stock planter. I bought one last fall, and so she's actually taken upon herself to put the tiers all together and to do them, and it's just beautiful. And we didn't have enough plants to do the whole thing. I think it has five tiers, five levels, and we only had three at one point. But she and I went out today, and we got two more set tiers worth of plants, and I love it. I think it's nice. It's actually, I mean, when you want to buy something, you envision how nice it could look, and you see how it looks good on people's videos, like Coghill Farm. His has looked beautiful. You know, there's two or three other people that have some of these green stock planters, but this one has flowers on two or three levels because we like flowers. I mean, I don't ever do flowers, but so Kinsey's doing all this by herself. I did want a level with some herbs, so I've got parsley and thyme and you know, the stuff I usually do. We may have even gotten a marjoram today. I don't know, but there's a few herbs that I got, and she got a level of those, and then we have a whole level of nothing but strawberries. And some of the flowers that we bought last week are still trying to recover. They're looking a little rough, but they are. Well, one of them's got a bloom on it, so I guess it's doing pretty good. And I'm glad for that. But I don't know, the whole thing, it's just nice. It's just like it's a stacking planter, and this one has five levels, and each level has spots for six different plants. So it looks nice. Okay, so my other of my three things is move the mower out of the vineyard. I don't think I'm going to get that done today. I don't know. Kenzie and I did a lot of running around getting some stuff done and during the time that I'm supposed to be moving a mower. But I don't regret it, because I'm really enjoying this time with my granddaughter, and we're having a good time together and thinking and talking and just being together and being a family. So I'm enjoying it. All right. So I got my three things, a podcast, morning burn, and move the mower. So yeah, we didn't get the mower done. All right, what I'm reading. I'm still in that four-volume set. Well, this is only my second segment of it, of the Edgar Cayce collection. And this is on Edgar Cayce on Dreams by Harmon H. Brough, PhD. And this was 1968. And it's part of the Association for Research and Enlightenment. So I'm going to be reading you from chapter 3, I believe. It says, when Francis wanted to rely too heavily on dream messages from her dead mother, he again encouraged her to rely on herself. He encouraged her to develop within herself, by entering into periods of silence, the ability to achieve telepathic contact with those close to her rather than seeking spiritual conditions. And on page 27, he says, the fear of the Lord, not law, is the beginning of wisdom. He was a very spiritual man. It's kind of interesting that he was spiritual and believed in God and believed in Jesus and all this stuff, but he still could go into a trance and do these readings for people. Like, and what disturbed him, I found in here too, he actually found out that through his readings, he believes that he's discovered past lives and he can tell you some of your past lives and stuff. But he also could help these people with ailments and stuff. But this particular book is about dreams. So the next one is, Casey was showing Francis, as he did many others, that dreams were a natural and appropriate vehicle for which the answers to prayer might be given. And I believe that's all I've got for this right now. So that's pretty short and sweet. And then next time we'll start going into part two, I believe. I'm also still listening to Atlas Shrugged, and it's been, oh, you know what? The more I listen to this, you know, I was really intimidated. I read a lot. Obviously, you could tell that I read a lot. I read a lot of different things. And I've been hearing for years and years to read Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand. And then I finally decided, well, you know, what I've done is I've dedicated when I'm doing chore time, during Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, during that time I'm doing chores, I'm listening to Atlas Shrugged. And I think I've gotten like 39 hours into it, and it's a 64-hour audiobook. And I do not speed up books. I enjoy words. I love words. I see them. I feel them. And so to speed them up diminishes what I'm trying to bring to life in my head. So I listen to them a normal topic because, you know, you can tell I enjoy learning things and getting information, but the words and spells itself, especially in a book or something like that, I want to hear your voice. I want to hear how you sound. I want to hear the inflections in your voice and to see what you're seeing and stuff. So if I'm listening to you in 1.5 or 2 times speed, to me, it just sounds like chipmunks, you know, flinging words around, and I find it annoying, honestly. So I'm listening to it in real time and I'm enjoying it. In Atlas Shrugged, you know, of course, the last time I talked to you about the directive that, you know, you couldn't make more money, you couldn't spend more money, you couldn't quit your job and all that other stuff. So right after that, I went into Dagny, who was running the particular railroad, went into seclusion. She goes, I can't do this. I've spent all my life, all my time and effort trying to keep this railroad up and running and profitable and taking care of things, and had been getting harder and harder for her to do it anyway. But in one fell swoop with this directive, it basically pulled the rug out from underneath her, and she just couldn't do it. So she went into seclusion for about a month, I believe. But Danconia finds her, and he tries to convince her to quit the railroad completely. And while he's trying to do this, because he's got other he's got other reasons for wanting her to quit. He's trying to come up together with another way of doing things that's completely outside of the norm of what's going on with society. He's trying to be outside the societal two roles, you know. And while he's trying to convince her, he has some pretty kind of pointed questions for her. And one of them was like, who gave them the means to enslave you? Because she was enslaved. If anything went wrong, she was there to fix it. If somebody said, no, this can't be done, she jumped up and showed him, yes, it can, and this is how we're going to do it. And she was running herself ragged trying to do that stuff. So, and then one of his things is, who forged your chains? Who destroyed your achievement? So for everything that she did try to achieve, she was running into brick walls, and it did forge some chains for her. So he also encouraged her to leave them the rusted carcass of the railroad. This is not a quote, her lifelong work. He basically told her, look, they won. They won this round. Let them have what's left of your railroad. I know you've worked your lifetime on it, but let them have it. Just, you're not going to win. Just let them have the rusted carcass. And if they can't figure out what to do with it, it's on them. And she had, to that point, had was just trying to recover from all that she'd been doing. But one morning they listened to her on the radio, and there was a catastrophe on one of the railroads. And she immediately packed up and came back to try to put things back together. And while she's on the train to get to where she needed to go, there was a bum there, but she looked at him kind of interesting and noticed that, yes, he was a bum, that he was just riding on the railroad, but she could see aspects of him. I think his shirt was pressed and taken care of. And so she actually asked him to be her guest while they were on this train ride. And he gave her the story of how the one particular manufacturing plant went under. And that's when these particular, when the owner of this manufacturing plant died, the kids, particularly the woman, was in there goes, oh, we've got to make it everything level for everybody. You know, you, when you work, you, you have to share your money with somebody less fortunate. And it turned in. And so this man, while he's sitting there talking to Dagny, tells her the story of the demise of this manufacturing company. And it got to where people were just resented. They tried to go to work. They were working for themselves. They were doing the work. And then they were expected to give up so much of their income so somebody else could have a car or somebody else could get their teeth fixed when they themselves needed a car or their baby was sick or something like that. So one by one, these people quit. And it basically gutted this particular manufacturing facility. And then the woman who was trying to do it basically blamed it on the world because they just weren't ready to be good to each other. And so that was a part of what I was listening to, that of how that, what this bum had told her. And then throughout the story, occasionally she runs into somebody who gives her a cigarette. Of course, back in the 50s, they all smoked. And that she ran into some people would give her a cigarette and it would have the dollar sign on it. And this is funny because I now remember a little bit about this. Of course, the dollar sign had not been talked about too much in. She knew she was looking for the people who made this particular cigarette and has been able to find it because she felt like those are the ones that had something and could do to help her overcome all the apathy that she was fighting against. And so I don't remember who told her about it, but it may have been, I think it was, it's on down the road, but somebody explained to her that the dollar sign was the S with double line, but actually see, and I think I'd forgotten it because I always did just one line over the years. You go, why do I do double lines? You know? And, but he explained that. I thought, oh my gosh, I remember now. If you look at a dollar sign with a double line, it actually had an extra one too. It was an S with a U for United States. And that was supposed to mean basically capitalism. United States, when it was at its prime, was believed in working to earn money, to create money, to be the superpower of the world, because they were willing to do the work and to use their heads and think and do and train and work to be better. And that dollar sign, that dollar sign that goes in front of every number that you use to indicate how much money something is, actually signifies a capitalist United States. And I thought, oh my gosh, I think I knew that from some point when I was a kid, but I'd forgotten it completely. And I thought that was incredibly fascinating. So I was kind of cool. I thought it was cool to learn that again. All right, I have a new segment. And I don't know how often I'll be able to do it because it's a new segment, but it's what I'm writing. I have decided I am going to write a book. I'm in the process of writing the book. And right now I'm trying to focus on the introduction to this book. I like to write things. I like to write skits. I write, short stories, memoirs, you know, things like that. But when it comes to writing books, there's so much more thought that needs to go into it. And I have done it basically kind of an outline, or I've got the chapters and stuff done on it, and everything kind of needs to be fleshed out. But then I'm learning how to flesh it out. You know, do I add a little, you know, because I've tried writing some books in the past. It's the fleshing out part I have difficulty with, and to make it all fit and cohesive and, you know, from one day to the next. So I'm trying to learn how to not just flesh it out, but actually do the writing and get it in. I'm a very linear thinker. So I probably should just finish the, introduction before I go to chapter one and have that fully thought out and fully written before I go to the next segment. So that's what that's my plan I'm trying to do right now. So I'm working on the introduction to this book. And I think it's the opening line is relationships can be a roller coaster ride at best, rocky all too often, and a nightmare that we can't seem to wake up from in the worst of times. And I think I believe that I'm trying to base the book on it. And I can't remember exactly what the name of the book is. It's like how to enjoy the meaning of life when they're there and how to enjoy your life when they're not. So that's basically what my book is going to be about. So my quote of the day is, nothing can bring you peace but yourself. And this is by Ralph Waldo Emerson. I was looking him up, and he had kind of a fascinating life too. But basically, in a nutshell, he was an essayist, lecturer, philosopher, abolitionist, and a poet who led the transcendentalist movement in the mid-19th century. He wrote essays such as Self-Reliance and Nature, and of course several others. I think they said like 1,500 essays he wrote and did speeches on and stuff. Many of his essays had themes of individuality, freedom, the ability for mankind to realize almost anything, and the relationship between the soul and the surrounding world. So I thought that was kind of interesting, because anybody who collects quotes most likely has a few Ralph Waldo Emerson quotes amongst them. But I'm really enjoying looking up the people that I've quoted and learning a little bit about them. So again, Ralph Waldo Emerson says, nothing can bring you peace but yourself. And of course, there's always reasons why. Well, like I was talking about the stresses of a new season. So that's what it, and if you hear something, that is my dog back there changing positions. Okay, my main subject. Oh my gosh. Okay, seriously, like I was talking about earlier, you know, you go through, and even early on when the grass is growing, it's just barely growing. It's not really ready to mow, but you get a couple of good rains and you got a mess of grass. And we're on 40 acres and a mess of grass, but I can only focus on 1 or 2 acres at a time. And so I've been trying to deal with that. And I keep trying to talk myself into being a good gardener. And I'm really grateful that Thomas kind of stepped up on that, taking care of a few things with it. But, you know, everything in the garden needs to be done. The asparagus is growing right now, and I really like that because we go out like almost every night and cut asparagus. And we've been eating fresh asparagus a lot lately. Wonderful stuff. But, you know, you've got the gardening, and then you got to mow. And, of course, you've always had the chores of your animals, but now all these animals are having babies. Oh, in fact, I forgot. I just quit doing the turning of my duck eggs. I forgot how many I've got in there. I had 30, but of course some of them weren't fertile and stuff. And I think I'm down to 24 eggs. And I looked a while ago. One of them is pipping, so I'm going to have some ducklings here anytime. So you got animals. I've got piglets. I've got ducklings. I've got all kind, and I've got Cornish cross chicks. And so there's a lot of that going too. So some of it's been a little bit stressful. You know, it's more work in the summertime. Anybody who does homesteading or farming or anything like that, you understand that, yeah, winter is supposed to be a time for rest. And you do have somewhat some rest on it, even though there are some things that just don't stop. But in the springtime, when you add on the gardening and the new animals and the mowing and stuff, it kind of wears you out after a while, you know, and it is stressful. These piglets. I'm getting over my stress with them somewhat. I am going to have to be castrating a couple of them, but even just sexing them. Oh my gosh. I was trying to sex these piglets, and these are good. It's a good breed. They are a docile pig, but she's still a mama pig. And I'm down on my hands and knees picking up these pigs, making them squeal because I was trying to figure out how to do it. This is the first time I tried to sex them, and I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, you can kind of tell, but apparently it's a lot easier a couple of days, even a couple of days later. And go away. Just go lay down. It's a lot easier a few days earlier because it was real obvious then, but I was down on my hands and knees trying to crawling into the A-frame. And now you can hear my dog panting in the background. Well, actually, he's right here. So, yeah, I'm down on my hands and knees trying to sex these piglets. Tom was supposed to be running interference for me, but one of the piglets had gotten out, and this dog right here was chasing him down. And so we had a cacophony going. It was a mess. And then all of a sudden, I'm squaring off with a mama pig. Hang on just a moment. Sorry about that, because he was not going to go away. And so I wasn't very confident of my ability to sex him. And a few days later, when it was more obvious, then I thought, yep, I messed that one up. So, but it was still stressful to try to be down the hands and knees down there with the mama pig and trying to figure out who was what and what to do with them. And I have to admit, I'm a little bit stressed because I'm thinking, okay, what do I do? What if I don't have it? You know, what if I get one? No, the ones that I'm getting castrated, I know need to be castrated, but I'm going to have a couple of males, and I don't know if the new owners are going to want them castrated, if they're going to want them to be, I don't know if they're going to want them for feeder pigs, if they're going to want them for breeding. And so I don't know what I'm going to do about that too. Oscar's been adding to the stress of it too. Some days I go out there and he can't hardly get up. He can't hardly move. He can't hardly function. And I can't tell if it's a weather thing. I can't tell what's going on with him. And literally like three times this week, I'll go out there and go, oh my gosh, this pig can't get up. I'm going to have to call a processor, make a date. And then the next thing I know, he's up and moving around without anybody encouraging him to get up. So, because I was worried for a day or two, that first day it was hot. He wasn't getting up. He wasn't going for water. He wasn't coming for food. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to lose another boar like I did last year. But now today he's up and moving around. He's still stiff and sore, but I keep vacillating whether to send him to the processor or not, because I am concerned on days that he doesn't get up, especially in the heat of the summer. If he doesn't get up and get to water, he will die like Jimmy Dean did last year. So I don't. Yeah, I'm finding that stressful. I won't lie. But what's helping is, like, I go out in the cool of the evening and the piglets come out and play and have a good time. And they're just darling. Of course, they're only a week or so old, but they're still darling. And I'm grateful for them. They came at a time when I really needed a little bit of encouragement in my life that I was actually doing something right, because a lot of things have been going wrong around here. And so, well, I can't say I did it right. Waddles is the one that did it right, the mama pig. But one way or another, it was something that went right in my life. So I was glad for it and grateful for it. All right. So that was basically my main subject of the day. And now it's time to move on to the story of the day. And there's been two or three stories that's kind of come up lately, but this one came to my mind and it's kind of a mess. Okay. There's 8.5 years between my two boys. And they are completely different personalities. My oldest son, Kenzie's dad, is more like Eeyore. And I think I've told you stuff like this before, but he's more like Eeyore. Yes, ma'am. Okay. You know, and Tony, the younger one, is like Tigger. Hey, mom, we're going to do this. Hey, woo, woo, look, squirrel, you know, that type of thing. In fact, he did have attention deficit disorder. And he probably still does, but yeah. So that's two different personalities. So one day I'm in the bathroom scrubbing the tub and doing stuff in there. And Tony, my youngest one, came in and he was upset. And he comes in and he goes, "Mom, David drew highballs on my butt." And I said, "What? What?" And I said, "Well, let me see." And he turned around and pulled his pants down. And sure enough, there was one great big eyeball, one on each cheek of his butt. And I said, "Oh, no." And of course, there are times when you try not to laugh and you try not to, you know, because obviously the boy's upset that his brother had drawn eyeballs on his butt. And I said, "Well, go get your brother and let me talk to him." And so he did, you know, he felt like he was vindicated, and he goes against David, and David comes there and he knows he's in trouble. I said, "David, why are you drawing eyeballs on his butt?" He goes, "Mom, He wouldn't leave me alone. He kept bugging me, and I kept telling him to go away, and he just wouldn't leave me alone. And I can't hit him because David was like 13, so Tony was like 5, you know. So he goes, I can't hit him, and he was just really bugging me. So I bent him over my knee and took a Mark Sharpie out and drew eyeballs on his butt. I went, okay. All right, well, next time come to me instead of drawing eyeballs on his butt. And I'm trying so hard not to laugh, but it was funny. But yeah, that's my story of the day of boys and how they interacted with each other, especially when the youngest one's being a pain in the ass. So my question of the day for you guys is, do you guys have funny stories of something that your children have done, or that when you were children, you guys did to each other, or even those of you are older, do you have a funny story of your grandchildren and stuff? I'd really like to hear them. All right, so that's pretty much all I've got for you today. My income producing activity is Podmatch. Podmatch is a thing that I've gotten into. In fact, it's kind of cool. It takes a little bit of it, for those of you who are podcasters, it's kind of cool if you want to. There are two aspects of it. If you want to just do interviews, and that's mostly a lot for people who have businesses or like coaching businesses and stuff like that, where they want to get the word out that they can do that for life coaches and stuff like that. Or for people like me who want to, my dog is back. For people like me who want to get the word out about their podcast, go away, and about their podcast or their YouTube channel or something like that. So, there's two different aspects of it. And if you want to do just interviews, or if you're the podcaster and want to do interviews, and it's two different prices, or, you know, there's like one or the other or for both. And so that kind of works out for that. I'm not ready to start doing interviews on my podcast yet. I'm still learning how to do this kind of stuff, but I have put it out there where I'm doing interviews on other people's podcasts. And that's been really kind of interesting. And I've got two or three of them that are coming up in the future, and I look forward to doing that with them. But that is podmatch.com. I think it's com. It's in the show notes below, or in the description below. And if you go through there and sign up, use that link, and then I'll get a little bit of a commission on it. It doesn't cost you anymore. It just does help me out with keeping things going here. All right, where I can be found, of course, I have my main channel besides this podcast channel is Grandma's Homestead. That's my YouTube channel. This is the thing. This is kind of basically where I started everything. When I was making videos to show us moving forward in life, and that's basically still what I'm trying to do with it. But Grandma's Homestead, if you look at some of the earlier videos, it was Ellis Family Farms, and it's only been the last few months I've changed it to Grandma's Homestead, and I've been really thrilled with that change. But go to YouTube and look up Grandma's Homestead and check out some of my stuff, my real old stuff. It's got beekeeping in it, and right now I'm doing a whole series of the changes in spring and stuff. And of course, I'm still trying to remodel my bathroom and get some of that stuff done. There's a variety of things. Basically, it's my life here on the homestead. So that's all I got for you guys today. I pray that everything goes well for you. Enjoy the sun, enjoy the rain, enjoy the thunderstorm. Don't get hurt in the thunderstorms. We've got some few thunderstorms that are supposed to be coming through off and on the next few days, but regardless, live until you die, guys. This is all we got. And I have to admit, I've been doing some rethinking too. And that's another one of the things that almost has been adding to my stress. I love my life here on the farm, but I work a lot. And I'm not sure that working all the time is living. But as I come to terms with that, I will share that with you. But right now, I'm just telling you to live until you die. Get off the couch, get off the recliner, turn off the television, and do something. Live. God bless, guys. I'll see you next time.